It's time now for The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute and your hosts, W.K. and Ken Boyce. Good morning.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, everyone.
And it's a good morning here in the Ozarks. We are kind of under overcast skies this morning. It's raining outside, and I'm looking here on the computer and got a cloud just passing through Springfield. So if you're listening to us, you hear some thunder in the background, that's what it's about.
But we definitely need the rain. Yesterday I was out mulching up leaves, and I turned my entire neighborhood into what looked like a war zone, just fog, this fog of dust from all the leaves, and so it was being brought up by the mower. But we definitely need the rain. It was a little dry.
Indeed it was. When we look at this weekend and we realize that this is Veterans Day weekend, and there's a lot of celebrations going on, a lot of parades. Governor Matt Blunt's going to be here in Springfield this morning, attending a breakfast. There's a lot of celebration and honoring of our veterans. This is one of the things we want to dedicate the whole program to today, that we're honoring our military veterans and their families. When you look at Veterans Day, it's more than celebration. When we look at Veterans Day, we realize what our military is doing, not only in this country, but in foreign countries around the world. We realize that there's a lot of things that we're fighting for, as well as things we're fighting against. And a lot of times it gets lost in the mindset and in the reporting of war and the casualties of war and what's going on in our military. But we're fighting for a lot of things that kind of gets lost in the shuffle. And I want to talk about some of those things today.
If you'd like to join us in the studio, give us a call at 862-9977. If you're outside the area, give us a call toll-free at 1-800-375-0056. We do know that there are those that, of course, with KWTO's signal, are outside the area, but we also have those that are listening live via the online link. So this morning, we'd like just to say good morning to everyone, and hello, and welcome for joining us. We've got, I guess, Virginia, Kentucky, Oregon, Texas,
New York.
And we're glad that you're with us.
And we're having also people listen to our program either online live or go to our archives and can find the radio link there. And we're listening to us in foreign countries. We know there's several military personnel that are listening to us. Their families have sent them the link of our radio program, and they're tuning in and listening to our programs in places like
Saudi Arabia, Kuwait,
Italy,
South Korea,
Philippines.
So.
Australia, all kinds of places.
To all those members that are deployed, we are thinking about you, and we do appreciate what you're doing. We also want you to know that we're here for your families. So if you guys need anything here, if families need a little help, if times are stressful with kids having one parent deployed, Springfield Marriage and Family Institute is also here to help you be able to deal with some of those situations as they come up.
Yes, this is a very stressful time of year with the holiday season coming up. And we've been talking about that in the past several weeks, about the stress, the holiday loneliness, and how people can cope with that more effectively. We know that just being separated from your loved ones and those who may be in harm's way and serving in a lot of different capacities in different branches of the armed forces, that there's a lot of anxiety associated with that. There's a lot of concern and just a lot of daily prayer on their behalf and on your behalf. We know that we want to be here to help you, as Ken said, and if we can do that, please give us a call. Call us at 882-6767.
One way that we are directly helping in this time of year, we have a program called Missing Stockings. This is for people that are home alone, either through death, divorce, deployment, any number of things, which any of those happen with military families. We have a support group that's been started. They're going to be facilitated by Marty Marlin, who you've heard here on radio, and Leslie Williard. You can give us a call at 882-6767. These are small groups just to be able to sit back, talk, and be able to share some of the feelings that you've got. This time should be a time of joy. And when there's a stocking missing on the mantle, that's one of the hardest times in our life. You're not alone. There's others out there. So if you'd like to be a part of that, there's a small fee on this. It's just to be able to keep the group going. The groups will be about 8 people per group. But if you need to talk, if you want just someone to listen or to understand, give us a call, 882-6767, and we'll get you going. The first group is set to start November 19th at 10 a.m. So please give us a call.
And that's there at Springfield MFI.
That is. That's one block due west of Kickapoo High School, so it's very easy to find right off Primrose.
Yes. We, again, encourage your phone calls. Because we have military listening to us, if you are a member of a family, that you have a loved one that's overseas or in another country that you'd like to say hi to, they are listening, can listen to our archive programs, please give us a call. We'd be glad to let you say hello to them.
We have Richard in Branson. Good morning, Richard.
How are you gentlemen doing today?
Doing well. How about you?
I had a question for you in the marriage and family situation that you run up in Springfield.
Yes, sir.
How long have you been doing this in this area?
The Springfield Marriage and Family Institute has been in existence for a little over a year now. I have been in counseling and doing counseling for about 30 years.
What, in your experience up there with veterans or military-type families, what percentages would you say that would need or have come to you for counseling or services compared to the general population?
Compared to the general population, it, you know, just varies. It's not just a real large number. They have a lot of support from other military families and chaplains inside the military, but we just want them to know that we're here and available for them.
I appreciate the work you're doing, and if there's any veterans out there listening, which I know there are, and you're in need of the services, I'm sure these gentlemen could help you out or at least steer you in the right direction.
Well, I know just on a personal note, I'm also a veteran as well, not only his
well,
son.
Welcome
but,
home.
Thank you. And had to deal with some of the situations. I came off a six-month deployment and walked right into a divorce right before Christmas.
Been there, done that.
I understand. There are many of us that have.
It's hard for people that aren't related to the military or the veterans very closely. I mean, the general population, I'm sure they take their hat off and lower their hand to their heart on this day. But it's hard for them to understand what goes on behind the scenes when mom or dad or uncle or granddaughter or whoever is overseas deployed like that, and their lives continue on. And I guess from a veteran standpoint, when you get back from the deployment, your world is completely different.
It takes some adjusting, absolutely.
That support factor by your immediate family is just is tremendous. What they go through, I don't think people understand the burdens that are put on families.
Yeah, unless someone has had a member of the family in the military, it's extremely difficult to put yourself in their shoes.
Absolutely. Yeah. And keep up the good work, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, as I said before, we're fighting for a lot of things in other nations around the world, and we have troops deployed a lot of places around the world. We need to know some of the things that we're fighting for. Now, we know we're fighting against tyranny. We're fighting against oppression. We're fighting against people who want to take away our freedoms. We're fighting against those who want to take away our very way of life, the American way of life that we have in this country. And this country is so unique. This country is so blessed in so many ways that those of us who were born here, have grown up here, lived here all of our lives, it's difficult to realize just how unique and special this country is unless you go out of the country and you experience other countries, other cultures, other societies.
It's eye-opening.
Very eye-opening. Things are not around the world like they are in this country. We have so many freedoms, and we're so blessed in so many ways. To have the freedom to say what we want to say, to have the freedom on this radio station to say what we want to say, and not be fearful that the police are going to come and arrest us for saying anything over the air. Or the freedom to walk down the street or down the road.
Just jump in a car and take a drive.
Yeah. Yeah. And to own our own homes, to own property. That this is ours. This doesn't belong to the state. These are our things. Our children are our children, and we're responsible for them. There's a concept that I'd like to talk briefly about this morning, and that is about sovereignty. We don't hear the word sovereignty very often anymore, but we associate sovereignty with things like nations or sovereignty of kings. But I want you to hear this, that in American life, in America, each individual is a sovereign citizen. What I mean by that is that sovereignty is defined as a person, body, or state in which independent authority is vested, a chief ruler with supreme power. When this country went to war with Great Britain to have its independence, the citizens were subjects of the King of England at that time, and he was sovereign. But when the founding fathers and the leaders of this country went to war and we won our independence, that sovereignty devolved from the king to the citizens of the United States. That we are independent, that we are individuals, that we have been given sovereignty to govern ourselves. And we have the freedom to do that. We don't have subjects that are under us as a sovereign king would. The only subject we have is self, and we're to govern ourselves and we have the freedom and the legal right to do that. And that's not talked about much anymore, that we have the freedom to express ourselves. We have the freedom to live our lives. We have the freedom to buy property. We have the freedom to keep property. We have the freedom to trade and to sell. We have the freedom to do that. And no one can come in and say, you don't have the right to do that. We have the freedom guaranteed by law, by our Constitution, to do those very things. We have the freedom to choose how we live. We have the freedom to go where we want to go in this country. And that cannot be said in a lot of places around the world. In many countries today, this day around the world.
But with that freedom comes a massive responsibility as well. And that is because we are self-governing. That our government is from the individual to the state, not the state down to the individual.
Yes.
And so that our government, our very act of citizenship, begins with oneself. Just like it is with our own lives, they're interconnected. We have to be able to govern ourselves, to be able to follow our beliefs, to take responsibility for one's actions, to stand up for what's right. That starts with self. And to have the freedom to be able to move about, to have the freedom to raise our children without worrying, there's a responsibility there that we have to maintain and protect that freedom.
Yeah, we need to respect the freedom. What we're fighting for are the freedoms that we have in this country. We have the freedoms that a lot of people around the world do not want us to have. We have freedoms that a lot of people do not enjoy themselves, and they want to take away what we do have. And the reason our military is around the world protecting and defending the Constitution of the United States is to guarantee the freedoms that we all have and enjoy today. I'm sitting here in the studio looking out the window. We have traffic going up and down the road, and we have trucks and cars, and we have a train that goes by periodically down here. It seems to be a normal day. But the reason that we can have normalcy, we can have that normality, is because we have those who are protecting the very freedoms that we enjoy every day. Because we have a multitude of people in this world who want to take this away from us. And they are fighting for things. Our military is fighting for our freedom, for our independence. They're fighting for the liberty that we take for granted every day.
In looking at what the veterans have done in the past, and looking at what the active duty military is doing today, the veterans gave us an inheritance. We have the ability today to fight wars unlike we've ever fought before. In prior generations, to fight a war meant literally it was to throw blows until there was no one left standing. In World War II, World War I, anything prior to that, it would be total annihilation. It was a war of attrition. Who could outlast each other? Who had the most men or who had the most bullets left standing? That was the winner.
They won.
They won. But it was at the total destruction of any civilization, any civilian casualties. All of those things happened. War was hell. It is the last act, after all diplomacy has failed, after everything else is gone, to say, okay, this is going to be a fight.
Yeah.
And then you fight to win. Today's war is being fought very different. And in a lot of ways, people make the mistake of assuming that because we are not annihilating people, that there's weakness on our part. We have the ability to surgically strike targets in a manner we've never had before. That wasn't seen before 1990. And what we can do today is even far superior than what we saw in the Gulf War, which those images were wonderful. You see the SEAL teams were out there lasing the targets, and a bomb would come in on that laser beam and hit the target. Today, we're fighting door-to-door through the streets, but instead of taking out the entire neighborhood, taking out the entire city, or annihilating the country, we are fighting an ideology that is against us. And we're able to do it with a scalpel. We're able to take care and look for the cancer other than killing the patient. Now, that takes time. That takes patience. That takes skill, precision. And yet we have those that don't want to support that, that somehow think, well, we're still there. Well, yeah, but we've lost 4,000 people. There's over 58,000 on the wall. Is that correct? for the Vietnam Memorial.
Pretty close.
Germany lost 5 million just fighting the Russians. All of those veterans gave us the ability today to be able to fight with precision and fight with a scalpel. It's not a fight we necessarily want. We don't want to have to be there. We're fighting all over the globe, whether it's through direct confrontation or whether it's through supplying education and training for those that are taking on in their own countries. And there's several that are happening. Philippines is one of them. But when you look at our abilities today, thank a veteran for passing that down to the troops that are on the ground now. And when you hear someone bad-mouthing the troops, you tell them they're doing a fantastic job. You defend them. That's honoring them. That's supporting them. That's supporting their mission. It's not the biggest battles. We don't have these major slug-it-out type battles that we had during World War II. Two ships pull along side each other and blast away until one's left floating and the other one's sinking. These battles that are being fought today are being fought with precision. They're not being fought with all the coverage. And they earn every bit of support. The veterans before handed them these abilities. Support them, support the troops, support the mission, support their funding. And remember, this is not a sign of weakness. This is a sign of strength that we do not annihilate.
And I want to also mention that the more strongly we support our troops, the safer they are.
Absolutely.
The safer our troops are that are in harm's way now. We have Don. Don, are you still there?
Don, we've got just a couple seconds.
Yes, sir. Real quickly, I want to clarify something. First of all, this election matters to the family. I want to give you an update in case you haven't heard the news yet. Dr. Dobbs is not endorsing anyone yet. There's four pro-life Republicans still left. And this election is more important to the family than yours, and I've seen it from what I've heard. I've been channel surfing this morning.
It's very important for families, you're right.
Because I want to clarify, if you can talk to Dr. Ed on a previous program I called a while ago on your morning line, the groups I wanted to be investigating after all these years of battling them were the NEA, ACLU, because they're against prayer in schools, they're in favor of gay marriage, they're more involved in politics than our school teaching like the NEA, and on Focus on the Family, Dr. Dobson couldn't believe that Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger passed four bills in California legislature that would teach stuff like, I believe, transsexual, cross-gender little school children, and I heard were passing out condoms. So this election matters, Christians. So pray God will do whatever it takes to stop abortion and put prayer in the schools.
Well, Don, thank you very much for your call. As we go into this political season, as we've discussed our freedoms, we've discussed the abilities that men are fighting for us now. We've also discussed a little bit about self-government and self-direction. On any of these things, it is not going to be a top-down approach. It's not going to be from the president or the Congress down to the people. This has to be from the people up. Anytime we think the government is over us, we're in trouble. The government serves at the will of its people. Edmund Burke, this is a famous quote everyone can recognize. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing.
Yeah.
I think everyone's heard that. This is one that I had not heard, though. This is from Albert Einstein. The world is not dangerous because of those who do harm, but because of those who look at it without doing anything.
Yeah, that's a great quote.
It almost perfectly describes what we're in today, whether it's our political system here, the challenges we have as a nation, as a local government, but also as the war we're fighting today.
Yeah, Thomas Paine also said, those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it. And there's a lot of fatigue out here. I hear a lot of people who are railing against being anywhere at war, and who want to bring all the troops home now, and to have this isolationist mindset that we just need everybody back home. And we just get everybody back home, that the world will be at peace again because we're the troublemakers. And I'm going to tell you something. I have a real problem with that. Because we are defending the freedom of this country. We're defending the freedom of those who stand up and protest at the top of their voice, the very things, the very freedoms that our servicemen and women are protecting. They have the freedom to do that. And we need to understand that war is horrible. No one wants to be at war. And we didn't go to war until we were attacked. We didn't go to war for over 20 years after being attacked repeatedly.
Yeah, we took several bloody noses before we said, okay, that's enough.
Yeah. But I'm going to give you another quote by John Stuart Mill. He said, war is an ugly thing, but not the ugliest of things. the decayed and degraded state of moral and patriotic feeling that thinks that nothing is worth war is much worse. The person who has nothing for which he is willing to fight, nothing which is more important than his own personal safety, is a miserable creature and has no chance of being free unless made and kept so by the exertion of better men than himself. We don't want to be at war, but we must fight because we are a sovereign people. We are a sovereign country. We are a sovereign nation. This country has the right to defend ourselves.
And our interest abroad.
And our interest abroad.
And we'll be back.
TOMA. T-O-M-A. What's your TOMA? Did you know it's worth billions? Hi, this is Ken Boyce, Marketing Director with the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, and co-host of the radio show, The Life You've Always Wanted, heard here each Monday morning at 10 a.m. What's your TOMA? Let's find out. Who's the richest man in the world? What's the number one soda company? Who can save a marriage, lift depression, mend broken heart, or heal emotional wounds? The answer to all these is TOMA. You see, TOMA said Bill Gates, TOMA said Coca-Cola, and TOMA now says the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. How do I contact them? TOMA says 882-6767. How do I find out more? TOMA again says, check out springfieldmfi.com. When the question is asked, it's TOMA that answers. What is TOMA? It's simply what comes to the top of the mind first when a question's asked. That's top of mind awareness, and it's priceless.
You're listening to The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Once again, your hosts, W.K. and Ken Boyce.
And we are back. Our nation is one of the greatest nations in the world. The other day, my daughters were in the classroom at the beginning of school, and I looked around and saw all the kids are trying to say the Pledge of Allegiance. I remember learning the pledge, and a couple of things I didn't understand. I didn't know why it was invisible. One nation under God, invisible. But we repeat the pledge. We learn the pledge. There was an amazing American named Red Skelton. I know many of you heard of him. But he explains the Pledge of Allegiance in one of the best explanations of that I've ever heard. Let's take a listen.
Now, getting back to school, I remember a teacher that I had. Now, I went through the seventh grade. I left home when I was 10 years old because I was hungry. And I used to, this is true. I work in the summer and I go to school in the winter. But I had this one teacher. He was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher. Mr. Laswell was his name. Mr. Laswell. And he says, he says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom. Wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United. That means that we have all come together. States. Individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that's love for country. And to the Republic, a state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people, And it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people, for which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation. And justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance: under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer, and that would be eliminated from schools too?
Yeah, Red Skelton stated that in a show in 1969, and he's recalling back when he was a child in school, and that was the school teacher and the principal, and expresses so well. In fact, that's been read into the Congressional Records twice and has received numerous awards about American freedoms, concerning American freedoms.
And he has the ability in 4.5 minutes time to explain what we've been working with for 40 minutes here this morning. If you'd like to take a look at that or to hear that again, that will be posted later on our website at Springfield MFI for Marriage and Family Institute, springfieldmfi.com. You go down to the Radio Archives link, and there will be today's show, and then I will also post the Red Skelton link. So if you want to listen to that or have your kids listen to that, share it with friends and family, just go to our website, and it'll be there later on today.
Yeah. You know, what people are fighting for, what our families, our husbands, our wives, our moms, our dads, our brothers, our sisters, what our loved ones are fighting for today, what they're putting themselves in harm's way for today, are things that are extremely precious to us, things that the founding fathers of this country believed in and sacrificed their lives to, the principles that we're talking about today. They pledged their lives, they pledged their possessions, they pledged everything they had, and they all suffered severe persecution, some death, and most of them deprivation. All the things, all the worldly goods were taken from them and destroyed. Some lost their whole family when they signed that Declaration of Independence. They pledged to this country, and we have a birthright now, and we have freedoms today based upon their sacrifice and the sacrifice of all veterans throughout all time in this country. There are three things, though, that our men and women today are fighting for, things that we believe in, things we know that they believe in. They're fighting for God, family, and country, just in general terms. The first one is that they're fighting for belief in our God. That is our mental and our spiritual core of who we are, our belief system, and the principles, the objective truths of Scripture from which our laws have come forth and from which our principles of daily life come forth. The belief in understanding the one sovereign God revealed in the objective truth of Holy Scripture. We have people today who want to take that from us, who want to deprive us of that. To the adherence of the one faith, is said in Scripture, that was once for all delivered to the saints. An acceptance of and accountability to the one Lord, and that one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father of all revealed in Scripture. To say that we are a secular people fighting a secular war is foolishness, because the principles upon which this country is founded are scriptural principles and belief in a supreme God and belief and trust in his providential care that was so often referred to in the writings of the founding fathers and our founding documents.
We also have the freedom of religion. Not freedom from, but freedom of. Freedom to read the scripture ourselves, to have a better understanding, not to merely interpret or to look for what we think it needs to say, but to understand and read for ourselves and understand what's being said. That is a part of our responsibility. Not being left up to someone else, not being left up to someone to tell us what to believe or how to believe, but our individual self to God.
And that comes back to our being sovereign. We are a sovereign individual with sovereign freedom. We have the freedom to do that. You know, many prayers in churches across this country all day yesterday, the prayers were thanking God that we can meet together, we can assemble together with no fear of retaliation. I guarantee you almost anybody that went to church yesterday heard that phrase, because we are thankful. The second thing that our troops are fighting for is our belief in family, our belief that we hold dear. That is our emotional core. We believe that marriage is a sacred institution, and it's a sacred creation of God. Marriage is not a social contract. It's expressed in a social context, but it is a sacred covenant creation of God. And that's what we're fighting for, the right to express that, the right to believe that, and that children are a blessing from a loving God. That parents must model accountability to the higher authority for children to observe responsible behavior and effective relationships in life. For obedience to objective truth that builds character in the individual and then the marriage and the family. That personal freedom is directly related to responsible self-government. And that families and communities are relationship networks of belonging. We fight for our community in which we were raised. And the third thing is for our country. That's our patriotic core. That's where our loyalty is. That freedoms are an expression of the personal freedoms of the individual. That government derives all of its power from the collective authority of the individual citizens that it serves. That sovereignty of a nation is protected by the willing sacrifice of its thankful citizens for their personal freedoms. That peace in the nation is not only the absence of conflict, but also the presence of justice for all its citizens. And finally, we're fighting for sovereignty of a nation, because sovereignty of the nation will be destroyed by the blurring of legal identities of its citizens, who is not a citizen, all people are citizens or not, for the blurring of legal ownership of their properties, that sovereignty of a nation will be destroyed if the ownership of our properties is taken away, and if our boundaries of our physical borders are blurred. The sovereignty of this nation will cease to exist. That's true of the individual. That's true of the family. That's true of the community. That's true of the nation. So we're fighting for things that are extremely precious and very dear to all of us, whether or not we have thought through and processed what these principles are. We enjoy them. We live in them. And to a certain extent, we all appreciate them. But we need to define them and to have a reason for why it's important to be who we are as a people.
This is a time of self-reflection. This is a time to say, people are fighting for me today. What am I doing for them? What am I doing for my kids, for my grandkids, for the next generation? What is my responsibility? If we really, truly want to honor what the veterans have done prior to today, what our family members, our parents, our grandparents, great-grandparents, and generations before them did for us, we need to reflect on ourselves and ask the question, what will I be handing down? Will I defend these beliefs? Will I defend God? Will I defend our family? Will I defend this country? We can have peace if we give up, but it's at the will of someone else. If we subjugate ourselves to someone else, okay, you can have peace, you can live in peace, as long as you're subject to that person, or to their thoughts, or to their ideals. But is that really peace? That's existence, but that's not peace.
That's servitude.
We must be able to to defend what is right.
Winston Churchill once said, if you will not fight for the right when you can easily win without bloodshed, if you will not fight when your victory will be sure and not so costly, you may come to the moment when you will have to fight with all the odds against you and only a precarious chance for survival. There may be a worse case. You may have to fight when there is no chance for victory, because it is better to perish than to live as slaves. Winston Churchill stated that in World War II. We have to fight. We have to defend. We have to honor the commitments of freedom that have come before us. We have to honor the Constitution, in which guarantees our freedoms. We have to pass freedom from one generation to the next.
You know, we have an entire generation that is being taught the Constitution is a living document because it changes with the times. That's being taught in our schools. If a Constitution changes, it's no Constitution at all. What makes the Constitution living is that it is timeless, and it is something that we can always measure back to, and we can hold our government responsible to. Not change at a whim. The Constitution must be solid, must be defended, and things must be measured back against. It doesn't change with the times. It's timeless.
It's the most unique document ever created, because it reflects, supports, and guarantees the sovereign freedom of each individual person in this country. There was a minister in Germany. He was a German Lutheran pastor. And he wrote, he said, in Germany, the Nazis first came for the communists, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Jew. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the Catholics, and I didn't speak up because I was a Protestant. Then they came for me, and by that time, there was no one left to speak for me. The freedom that we enjoy is the freedom we share. It's the freedom for all. And we must all speak up and be supportive of the sovereignty of our country, the sovereignty of the United States of America, the sovereign freedoms of the individual and the country as a whole. It is freedom for all.
As we wrap things up, it is so important that we reflect and we look back on all these things at this moment in time as we celebrate veterans, as we celebrate the ideas that they defend. But we must make it personal. Now, listen to this again. You must make it personal. Every day of our life, we must be at the core of defending that. We look at our families. We look at ourselves. We look at our job. How are we living our lives? Are we raising our kids the way we need to be? Are we the spouses we need to be to our husbands or wives? Are we the employee that we need to be? Are we doing the best we can do? All of these things have to be brought down to the personal level. And if the person, if us as one, is doing everything we can do, and the others are doing likewise, it strengthens the whole. It is a bottom-up approach. At the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, we work with families, we work with individuals, we work with children, we work with couples, all trying to strengthen their relationship, their bond, and the knowledge of how to be better, whether it's being a better parent, better spouse, even a better worker, to improve oneself and to live the life you've always wanted. If life's struggling, and at this time of the year, whatever seems to be struggling in our lives throughout the year, it gets amplified. If you'd like to talk to someone, if you want to find out, how can I get past this? How can I be more effective? Because what I do to my kids affects the next three generations down below them. How I treat my wife is how my son, my grandson, my great-grandson will treat their wives. It matters what we do as an individual. If you'd like to, you can give us a call at 882-6767, 882-6767, or look us up at Springfield. MFI.com. If you'd like to take a listen to this radio archive later, go to springfieldmfi.com, click on the radio archive link, and the show will be there. It's your life.
It's your choice.
Make it a great one.